morning, everyone. We're going to be able to get, before I read Hebrews, I want to read Numbers, chapter 29. And I have three things that I want to talk to you about. I want to talk about useless sacrifices or rituals. Useless sacrifices. I want to talk about the perfect sacrifice. And I want to talk about a reasonable sacrifice. So that's three things. Useless sacrifices, the perfect sacrifice, and a reasonable sacrifice. So let's first of all look at Numbers chapter 29, which is not a... Oh, you've got that. That was very good. And it's verse... 12, I want to start at. I'd like to start at chapter 28, verse 1, to the end of 29, but it takes too long. That'll take most of my time just to read it. So I'm picking out a little bit to illustrate the whole. So verse 12... Here we are. I'm glad these missionaries, by the way, came out of a missionary parcel in Zambia. These glasses. Not this, these glasses. Missionaries don't look like this. These glasses. Because I broke my glasses and I haven't got any more at the moment. So I'm finding it difficult to see you and to see this, but I'll do the best I can. What was I going to say? I'm glad I live in this day, not in that day. It's so much better, it's so much easier, it's so much cheaper for us to worship God now than it was in that day. So I'll illustrate that by reading this to you. And this is the Feast of Tabernacles. There were several feasts, but this is one just little bit of that, that they picked out, the Feast of Tabernacles. On the 15th day, and it's for 7 days, just 1 week of worshipping God. On the 15th day of the 7th month, that's round about October, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. Celebrate a festival to the Lord for 7 days. Present an offering made by fire. This thing has to be burnt up. As an aroma pleasing to the Lord. A burnt offering of 13 young bulls. So how would you like that? If we had to do that today, worship today, imagine that coming in here. 13 young bulls. Not much room to put them in. 13 young bulls. But that's not all. And 2 rams. 13 young bulls and 2 rams. 14 male lambs, a year old, all without defect. With each of the 13 bulls, prepare a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. With each of the 2 rams. 2/10. And with each of the 14 lambs, 1/10. So it's a bit complicated, all this, isn't it? You've got to be able to work things out. Include 1 male goat as a sin offering in addition to the regular burnt offering that every morning a lamb had to be offered, every evening a lamb had to be offered with its grain offering and its drink offering, which was wine, usually. So that's on the first day. How would you like to be in that kind of situation? What would it be like? Huh? But what about the second day? Look here, on the second day, 12 young bulls. Let's go on to the third day. 12 young bulls plus rams, lambs and everything else. On the third day, 11 bulls. So 13, 12, 11 and 2 rams, 14 male lambs without defect. On the fourth day, 10 bulls. On the fifth day, 9 bulls. What about the sixth day? On the sixth day, 8 bulls, plus all the other stuff in there. On the seventh day, 7 bulls, plus all the other stuff. So that's the 1 week. And if you count all those things up together, it's 189 animals. Think of the cost of 189 animals. And they've got to be animals in good condition. But then on the eighth day, this is at the end of this, on verse 33, if it comes up there. On the eighth day, On the eighth day, present an offering made by fire. Offer one bull, one ram, seven male lambs, all without defect, with the bull, the ram, and the lambs. Okay, so if you had the whole thing up, it's 199 animals in 1 week. Let's go on just to the next verse, if we can. No, we've gone to some... Never mind, just leave it at that. I think I've illustrated my point. How would you like that kind of thing? To live in that kind of situation. You imagine what it's like. These animals are not only to be brought, they have to be killed. They have to be skinned. They have to be divided into pieces. They have to be burnt. I've killed lots of animals in Africa. And whenever you kill an animal, you spill the blood. Within 2 minutes, yes, there's that swarm of flies. An absolute swarm of flies. It smells. It's unpleasant. And then roasting meat's all right. We call them braai flays in Africa. Somebody else will know that here, braai flay, but we call them barbecues. Braai flay means burning the flesh, well, roasting the flesh. But this, it had to be burnt to a cinder, completely burnt away. You imagine what the smell is like in the atmosphere. Shedding blood, burning these animals, the flies. And this goes on month after month, year after year. So the whole soil there is soaked with blood. Not a very pleasant thing, was it? Not a very nice thing. It was expensive. It was smelly. It was not a very nice thing at all. So and it took a lot of work, and it was expensive. I'm glad I don't live in that city. That is what you call religion. If you didn't realize, that is religion. Religion is what I must do in order to get to God. That's what people believe. I must do this to please God. Religion or ritual. I am not religious because I don't live in that kind of situation. I don't want that kind of religion. Not me. Thank you very much. Let's go on to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, verse 1. The law. Now, all that we've read, all those animals, all that killing, is called the law. It's all the rituals, all the things that they had to do. They were compelled to do. It wasn't a voluntary thing. They were compelled to do all that in the Old Testament. That's religion. And it's called the law because it wasn't voluntary. It was law. The law, that thing in the past, is only a shadow. It's only a shadow. Now, in our Lunda language, when we talk about a picture, we use the word shadow. We don't have a word for photograph. When I was quoting Rachel, she sent me a photograph, and I put it on the mantelpiece, and all the Zambians that came in said, oh, there's a shadow of your future wife, a shadow. And that's the word they used, a shadow. So in the Hebrew and in the Greek and in our Lunda language, the word shadow really means a picture. So these things were a picture. Those things in the past were a picture. They weren't the reality. They were a picture of the good things that are coming. In my translation, it said the good things that have come. There's a slight difference, but it's difficult to translate the Greek there. These things are a shadow. They're a picture, an illustration. They are not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year after year. And those sacrifices that I told you about, which were introduced during the time of Moses, continued for about 2,000 years. 2,000 years of continually killing, shedding blood. And if I were to give my talk a title this morning, it would be Rivers of Blood. Because that's what it was. That Old Testament was all rivers of blood. But what does it say here? Those sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, they can never make perfect those who want to draw near to worship God. If it could, if it made somebody perfect, what would happen? They would have stopped being offered, wouldn't they? That's quite sensible. For the worshippers, obviously an American translation this, the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are what? An annual reminder of sins. Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And that's why I've called them useless sacrifices. They were all right as a picture, but for actually doing any cleansing, to actually bring us to God, they were totally, there it says, they were useless. Impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you didn't desire. God didn't want that. He put it there as a picture to help people understand, but God wasn't pleased with that. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. But what is the answer then? What is the answer to bring us to God? But a body you prepared for me. God himself becoming a man in a human body, that was the answer to this problem. Let's just go forward a bit. But with burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, this is Jesus speaking, here am I. It is written about me in the scroll, in the Old Testament, in the Torah. It's written about me. I have come to do your will, oh my God. So what's the answer? The Son of God becoming a man and in his humanity doing the will of God. Perfectly doing that which pleases God. Those other things could never please God. What pleases God? His Son in the flesh was the one who pleased God. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. First he said, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire. Nor were you pleased with them, although the Lord required them to be made. They came from God, they were in the Bible, but they didn't really please God. They didn't work any good. Then he said, here am I have come to do your will. He set aside the first, all those offerings, he set it aside. Set aside the first to establish the second, that is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So we've got useless sacrifices, then we've got a perfect sacrifice. He put aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, Jesus doing that which pleases his Father, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. One sacrifice, not millions. There must have been millions offered, and they did nothing. But one sacrifice of Jesus was all that was needed to make my way open to perfectly worship God. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. He stands, because his work is never finished. If you're working, you stand up to work. He stands doing his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, what did he do? He sat down. Why? Because the work was finished. The other stood day after day, but he sat down after once. He offered himself on that cross, one sacrifice to take away sin. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because, I'm lost, where am I? Oh, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. You see that? One sacrifice, he's made me perfect, but then he's making me holy. So it's an ongoing work. The Holy Spirit testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them at that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws not on a book, not on tablets of stone, not on the wall. Where am I going to write the things that I want? In the very hearts and minds of those who experience this thing. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will forget forever." No, it doesn't say I will forget. That's human weakness. He says, I won't remember. "I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sins." Just forward a bit further. Therefore, what follows out of all this? "Therefore, brothers and sisters," it says in mine, this new one. "Brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place," but only the high priest could go once a year. If you went in there, you would die. "But now we have confidence to enter the most holy place, not by my own religiosity, not by my own good deeds, not by any kind of sacrifices, but by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain," that is, through the offering, the sacrifice of his body. "And since we have a great priest over the house of God," let us do what? Let us draw near to God. I could go on. There's a lot more, but we'll stop at that point. Don't you think the word of God is wonderful? Beautiful. So I've got 3 points. Useless sacrifices, the perfect sacrifice, and a reasonable sacrifice. You know, about these useless sacrifices, it says in the passage that we have read together that they can never make the worshipper perfect. They're a shadow. When I first went to Zambia, I was in my house and I had a friend called Samuel Mudata, and he came and in the house there was a picture, a Turner picture of an elephant on the wall. Beautiful, I don't know if you've seen those Turner pictures of elephants. And he came to me and he looked at this thing and he put his head this way and that way and he said, "What is it?" I said, "Well, can't you see?" He said, "No." I said, "It's a picture of an elephant." "Oh," he said, "no, that's not an elephant." I said, "Why not?" He said, "It's too small." He said, "I've never seen an elephant like that." And he couldn't interpret the picture in his mind. It was something he had no experience about. Things have changed. It's not like that now. But it was like that then. A picture that needs interpretation. And these pictures in the Old Testament are pictures to us. It was a picture that God gave to us. What does this picture tell us about, as we've read in that passage? Number one, these pictures can never make us perfect. Because day after day, year after year, they have to be continually sacrificed. They can never really do any good for us. Number two, they can never make us clean. Number three, they cannot take away the feeling of guilt. Number four, they cannot take away sins. And number five, they cannot please God. It's a picture to tell us that these ongoing things can never complete what man really needs. He needs to be made perfect. He needs to be made clean. He needs to get rid of his guilt. He needs to get rid of his sins. And he needs to please God. But those sacrifices can never do that. And yet they came from God. It says they were offered according to the law. Moses didn't make this thing up. God told Moses to give this to the people of Israel to be an illustration. What is it an illustration of? It's an annual reminder that we are sinners. It's a picture of that. That we are sinners. We need some kind of help to get to God. We are sinners. Did you realize? The best amongst us is a sinner. Doesn't matter who we are. There are now 7 billion people on the earth. Everyone is a sinner. He's come short of what God requires in his life. All the people from Adam right to this day that ever lived, I don't know how many that is, but everyone was a sinner. It's also a graphic illustration of that sin causes death. Sin causes death. All these animals died not because they sinned, because human beings sinned. Sin causes death. That's what God wanted people to realise, that sin causes death. You know, when Adam sinned and he realised he was a sinner, he tried to cover himself, to cover his nakedness. But he used the wrong things, and God says, no, that's not going to do any good. So God covered them with skins. But those skins, which was only a temporary covering, where did those skins come from? An animal had to die, you see, so that they could be covered. So these sacrifices are a picture that sin causes death, causes trouble, causes... Where do all the wars come from in the world? Where do these terrorist attacks come from? All these murders. I think we're all reeling, aren't we, at the moment. Where does it all come from? Well, it comes from one thing. Sin. That's the cause of all the problems, all the difficulties in the world. It is sin. It's an inner force. Sin is an inner force. It tells me that in Romans. It's something within me that drives me to do the things that I don't want to do. And it stops me from doing the very things that I want to do. It's a force within me. Sin. And sin causes death. And he draws here a picture to tell me this, that sin can only be dealt with by the shedding of blood. The innocent have to die for the guilty. That's what it tells me in these. Those animals haven't sinned. What have they done? And yet they had to die to provide a temporary covering for mankind. It's what we call substitution in the Bible. The innocent dying for the guilty. The third picture is, it's a picture of something else that was coming ahead. Those sacrifices were a picture of a more perfect... They were inadequate sacrifices, but there was a perfect sacrifice which was coming. You take all those sacrifices together. That lamb had to be without blemish. The bull had to be perfect and strong, physically strong. These were a picture of that coming sacrifice that we saw in Hebrews there, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these sacrifices, which were useless, were a picture telling us of our need, our powerlessness, but a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, was coming. Who is that perfect sacrifice that was coming? As we read in Hebrews chapter 10, the perfect sacrifice was a man called Jesus. God himself became a man and lived amongst us. He was a perfect man. He was a true man. He wasn't an imitation man. He was a true man. Jesus didn't just pretend to live in a human body. Jesus was a perfect man. He suffered in every way that we suffer. He was tempted in every way that we're tempted. There was only one difference with Jesus and you and me. And that is, he knew no sin. There was no sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a perfect man. He was the perfect sacrifice. That's why that lamb in the Old Testament had to be without blemish, without spot, because it was a picture of this perfect sacrifice who was coming, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was the perfect sacrifice. Jesus laid down his life for you and for me, the perfect sacrifice. One of the things that our Zambian friends keep asking me, can God really forgive this sin? Oh, there are lots of sins, but can he forgive this sin? Because there are sins that we Africans know about that you white people know nothing about. I had a friend called Sakanye. He was a witch doctor. I mean, I forgive me if I told you this story, but I can't remember. But he was he used to come to me for medicine. And I said, look, you're a witch doctor. Why do you come to me for medicine? He said, there's two kinds of sicknesses, one from God and one from men. I deal with the ones that come from men, and you deal with the sicknesses that come from God. He said, that's why I come to you, because he had a lame leg. And he said, that's from God, that's not from men. But he, I preached the gospel to him many times, and he said, and once he came to me, and he said, Barry, I like you. And I said, thank you. He said, I'd like to help you. I said, well, what do you want me to do? And he had a little horn, little tiny horn from an animal. And he said, I want you to give me a piece of fingernail and a piece of skin, a bit of blood, a hair. And I said, what are you going to do with them? He said, I'll put them inside this horn. Then I seal up the top. Then he puts a piece of string round with some beads on. Then he says some words. He takes it off to the river, digs in the bank. He puts it in there and leaves it. Then I have to sacrifice a chicken every day, which he will take to the riverbank, put it down there. And he said, he'll do that for a week. And one day I will wake up enjoying the night and I will hear swallow, 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 like this. This is the word idiophones, they use swallow. That's what I'd hear, swallow, swallow, swallow. And that's the name, that's the sound a snake makes. And he said, you look down on the floor and you'll see this snake coming. But when you look at this snake, it will have your head and your face on this snake. And then you can tell it. You can send it off, this snake, and it will devour your enemies. And or even your friends if you want to do, and it will swallow their life, and then their life will be added to your life, and you will live a long, healthy life. And I said, well, thank you, Sakanyi, but I don't need it. I've already hidden my life somewhere else, not in your horn. I've hidden my life in Jesus. He's the one that gives me absolute security. And just before Sakanyi died, I preached the gospel to him. And he said, God can't forgive me. And I said, he can forgive any sin. If we confess our sins, he is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus cleanses every sin away. And he said, no, the sin of eating human beings can never be forgiven. And this, what I've just told you about, he said, that can never be forgiven. And that's believed throughout our African society, that kind of witchcraft sin can never be forgiven. And if you kill your snake, you yourself will die. What I want to tell you today, that the sacrifice that Jesus made, he said, it's absolutely perfect. There are people I've found, even in England, they've never done that kind of thing, although some have. I was speaking to, I preached once in Redditch and a young boy came. I don't know if you remember a woman that from witchcraft to Christ called Irvin. Well, her grandson came and he sat and talked to me, and he was involved in the same things that Doreen Irvin was involved in. And he said, can God really forgive me? He was taking drugs, he was involved in witchcraft. Can God really forgive me? And there are people maybe here today and you think, well, can God really forgive that? And there's something that you've carried all those years and it niggles you inside and it wakens you up at night and you think about this thing. Well, let me tell you today, the Bible tells me this, that God can forgive every sin because the sacrifice of Jesus was perfect. The blood of Jesus cleanses every single sin. What about the suicide bomber? Can God forgive him? Or woman? There are some sins that are being committed today that just seem absolutely awful. You think of the people that we've known in our lifetime here. Some of the evil people that have rocked this world and destroyed the world. Can God ever forgive people like that? The blood of Christ cleanses from every sin. No matter what it is, Jesus can forgive. No matter how evil a person is, God can forgive. So that's a wonderful message we have. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. A perfect sacrifice. Useless sacrifices, we're not into that. Ritual, you can throw it all away. Your religion, we don't need it. We have a perfect sacrifice. Jesus, but he's not dead. He's not dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven. He sits at the right hand of God and he intercedes for us. A perfect sacrifice. And today he is alive. Isn't that wonderful? We don't worship a dead Christ. We worship a living, dynamic Saviour who rules the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you noticed that verse. I can't think how to get back to it there, but what it says is, let me read it for you. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever. Forever. Not for a few days, and then you get tired and fall and it's all finished. For one sacrifice, by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever. Forever. Doesn't that give you a joy in your heart? Made perfect forever. So when God looks upon me today, he sees me as perfect as Jesus. Now that's difficult to believe. I know myself. But God looks upon me and he says, because you're trusting in Jesus, my son, and his blood, I see you as perfect. As perfect as Jesus Christ himself. So I have the right to come in to the presence of God because I've been perfected by him. Perfect. But it says here, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's practical, you see. As far as my position before God is concerned, I am perfect. But as far as living in this world is concerned, amongst you, you see me as I am. Anything but perfection. But God is doing an ongoing work. He's making me holy. He wants to make me more holy every day, moment by moment. And he does that by the power of his Holy Spirit. God himself, the Spirit, lives within the person who has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. When the leper was cleansed, they put blood on his ear, on his finger, on his toe. But where they put the blood, they then put oil on his ear, on his finger, on his toe. You see, where the blood has gone, the oil comes that's in the Old Testament. When I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, God gives God the opportunity to give me the Holy Spirit to live in my ear, in my hand, in my feet, in my mind, in the whole of my body, the power of God. He wants to make me holy day by day. We are being made perfect, but we are being made holy. Isn't it wonderful to know that you're clean? In Africa, it gets very hot. When we were out there this time, it was about nearly 40 degrees. And when you do any kind of work, especially if you do work on a car, you get dirty, you get oil, and you get filthy. And it's lovely at the end of the day to run a bath of water, to throw off all those dirty clothes, to get in a bath of water, to have a wash, and to come outside, to sit on our front veranda with your clean clothes on, with the sun going down, and Rachel to bring you a nice cup of tea. It's so lovely to feel clean, wonderful. Well, that's the message this morning. You can be clean. Not only clean, but empowered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the living power of God, the Holy Spirit. But that demands a response from you and from me. What is our response? Well, it's what you call a reasonable sacrifice. It's Romans chapter 12. I don't know if you can find that on there. Romans chapter 12, but I'll read it to you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Here, this is what it says. Therefore, because of all I've told you, because of what you've heard, because of your response to the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Those others could never please God, but the sacrifice of Jesus, on offering your bodies, this is pleasing to God. This is your true and reasonable service. This is a reasonable sacrifice. It's something that's right for you to do before God, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, a reasonable sacrifice. So that's what God, the time has gone, so I have to bring it all to a very quick close. If he's done all this for me, if Jesus died for me and lives for me, what's the least that I can do is to give myself back to him. That's one reason why I trusted the Lord Jesus. But I spent 50 years, it was 15 years next year in Africa. What's the reason? Because I want to give back to him. He gave all this for me. Surely it's only reasonable that I give myself back to him. Not one hand for God and one hand for myself. No, both hands for God. Both feet for God. My whole being, present your body, not as a dead sacrifice, as a living sacrifice to him. Because this is your reasonable service to him. Let's sing a hymn together. I've forgotten where it is. It's written here somewhere. Here we are. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect